Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up a little bit later on, probably at 1 o'clock a.m. Eastern. What is that? Is that 10 Pacific? I'm very bad at math. Think 10 Pacific.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Stu. At 10 Pacific, I got to tell Warriors fans, and you know what? I'm not talking to Warriors fans. I think I'm talking to Inside Basketball Guy. You can't have it both ways when it comes to Andre Iguodala. I think Warriors fans, the good ones anyway, and there's plenty of them, I think the Warriors fans know exactly what's at stake. I think a lot of Inside Basketball Guys, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I have been shocked over this last week because I'm not going to allow it to happen. If you think I'm going to let you use Andre Iguodala as some sort of an excuse, you can pound sand. That is not going to go down. Stu, I got to bring something to your attention before I'm going to go to a bizarre world here when it comes to the Boston Celtics. Cavaliers win tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals. Stu, I got to bring you in. Ike, I got to bring you in as well. Cavaliers just won the Eastern Conference Finals. They await either the winner of Houston and Golden State Monday night, 9 Eastern. I have been on air now for two Game 7s for the Cavaliers. One in 2016 in the NBA Finals. The second one tonight. They are 2-0. If they get to a Game 7, which there's some people going, how are they going to get to a Game 7 against one of those teams? I can say LeBron, and I could be partially right about that. And I know that sounds like I'm throwing a blanket over it, but again, it's LeBron. So basically, you say LeBron to anything, I guess that kind of matters. Ken, how are you going to lose weight, LeBron? Ken, how is your mother going to be? LeBron? Ken, LeBron, that's the answer to everything. How do we fix taxes? LeBron. How do we establish peace with North Korea? LeBron. Not the worm, it's definitely LeBron. But I have a question to ask you, Stu. And Ike, I want your opinion on this. Well, Ike, were you in for the 2016 finals with me?
Yep.
So you remember that night. Now, obviously, as a fan, and I have to wear my fan hat now, that yes, I'm from Northeast Ohio. I'm from Cleveland. I work in Cleveland. And yes, I grew up a Cavaliers fan. So yeah, that was an incredible night. So I'm 2-0. Now, this is my own personal superstition. If there were a Game 7 again, I did feel like I was in a prison of my own emotions here in this studio. If they were to get to a Game 7 again on a Sunday, can I take that Sunday off or no?
I think that's going to be tough for you to take off. I'm looking at the schedule right now. So June 17th, which is a Sunday and Father's Day, that would be Game 7 of
that
the
would
NBA
be Game
finals.
7.
So,
God, the finals are like 3 weeks long if they let them out to Game 7. Good God. Okay, continue.
I think you have to work. Just because of the good luck, I wouldn't mess with it.
Because one of these days, the chickens are going to come home to roost, and they might lose in a Game 7, and then I got to be on air during it.
I think it's worth... I don't think it's
Which I'd
worth
like to
taking
run and
off.
Hide if I could, to be honest with you. I'd like to run and hide.
I hear you. I just don't think it's worth taking off. I just wouldn't mess with it if I were you.
Okay. All right. Ike, what's your feelings?
If you're superstitious, you're superstitious.
Because I tell you what, and I had a blast. It was surreal. I'd never seen it in my life, and I don't know if I'll ever get to see it again. But to be downtown and to experience it, thank God for Michael Williams, who covered for me, basically, during the golf interview that we were doing, because I was a mess. And then there were people out there, and I go, I kind of want to be out there with the people. And I couldn't be out there with the people because I was in here doing this. And then at 2 o'clock Eastern, when I get off, that's when the bars close. And there were some bars that already ran out of beer and booze before that. So it's going to be something I'll have to think of, because if the Cavaliers were to have a chance in the NBA Finals, it would definitely probably come down to them going to a Game 7. 855-212-4CBS. I'll ask Peter Schwartz when he joins us at 1:20 a.m. Eastern, because we will have good, strong hockey talk with him, and I want to ask him about superstitions as well. I guess I'm going to have to blame this all on my simple Midwestern roots. Maybe I'm just too nice. Because after this game, I thought, man, there's a couple of different things. I hammered Inside Basketball Guy, and I'm serious. The basketball breakdown gurus, the Doug Gottliebs of the world. So many of these guys, oh my God, you guys are stupid. You basketball fans are stupid. You're really underestimating Andre Iguodala. And I go, how could you say that? When you have four all-stars on a basketball team, history will not allow you to use Andre Iguodala as an explanation for losing that series. It's just not going to happen. Andre Iguodala is a fine player. Great on defense. Yes. But history's not going to allow you to do that. Just like if the Cavaliers were to lose tonight against the Boston Celtics, I know LeBron was an all-timer. And in this postseason has done wild things that we have to expect from him, because if we didn't expect from him, which is a crazy sentence to say, they wouldn't have had a shot in hell and they wouldn't have gotten past Indiana in the first round, let alone gotten to Boston and forced a Game 7 after being down 2-0 in the opening two games. But how would we have seen it? Now, maybe Jason Tatum... maybe this would have been his coming out party. Jason Tatum looks like he can be a star in the future of this league, and he could be part of a natural, almost big three when you bring in Kyrie Irving, which hopefully he'll be healthy, and Gordon Hayward, and then you have a kid in Jason Tatum, which looks like he has endless possibilities, and that's one of the positives that you can take. And I looked at Boston, I looked at the Cavaliers, and I think, God, LeBron's done all these incredible things, and if they lose, history's not going to allow me to explain that away. Well, you see, Kyrie was threatening to sit out the season, and so they traded him, and they traded him to Boston. You guys, no. He had 46 points, and you guys are saying LeBron isn't the GOAT, but let me explain to you that Kyrie got traded, and then they brought in Isaiah Thomas, and then he became a malcontent, and then he was hurt, and he tried to force himself too quick, and then they traded him, and they brought in these young guys, and these young guys weren't ready for it. You see how silly that sounds? You hear how silly that is? It takes you about half a sentence to go, oh, he's just a lover. He's just a fanboy for LeBron, and that's it. Because we do that in basketball more than any other sport. If you're a guy who says good things about LeBron and people hate LeBron, then you're just a fanboy. We'll do it for Kyrie, probably for Jason Tatum someday, the way it looks. There's just a lot. Oh, you're just a fanboy. You're just a Warriors fanboy. He's just a Houston fanboy. You automatically dismiss it because that's the way history will see it. So, if Golden State were to lose because there's no Andre Iguodala, especially with no Chris Paul with the Houston Rockets, well, that sounds silly to use him as an example. It sounds silly for me to try to explain away all the postseason of what LeBron did, and maybe it gets to look a little bit better because it happened to Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum could be great. But now you can look at it and go, well, he got back to the finals. And I still don't know if that's going to be enough. More on that later. But I've had an amazing run here where people have gotten in. And I've had Celtics fans calling me up, 855-212-4CBS. We'll see if we can change this. I've had Celtics fans calling me up, wanting me to be harder on the Celtics, and I don't understand why. Maybe I'm just too nice about it. But maybe I'm just being realistic. Tatum, you just heard me say wonderful things about him. Jaylen Brown could be a player in this league. You found Terry Rozier during this postseason. He's a guy, I want to point this out, last week people were calling in about Terry Rozier replacing Kyrie Irving where they could let Kyrie Irving go. So you have Rozier as a backup or a piece or a guy that you can work with, a guy who might be able to free Kyrie Irving off the ball from being a point guard, which Kyrie's body dictates that he's a point guard, but his style of play would say that's a two guard that's better off the ball. You can use him in that fashion. And I see Boston and what they did this year, their coach, what they still have as far as draft picks, what they still have as far as some cap space. Danny Ainge, who I hammered last year because I couldn't see the forest for the trees. He's got a multitude of possibilities here, and he's done a great job stewarding that franchise. And I'll say that to any Boston Celtics fan, and I'm getting reactions tonight, calls tonight. You're not nice. You're not being mean enough to the Boston Celtics. Matthew Ken, I'm going to shoot you straight. As a Celtics fan, yes, LeBron's the best player in the NBA, but the Celtics allowed Jeff Green to join the party with LeBron. That is inexcusable. Okay, fine, you're right about that one. I can't say that you're wrong for having emotions of anger. I'm just saying, look at it from a different perspective. I can't fight your emotions. I can try to change them. I can try to talk you out of them. You are poised to dominate the East. If LeBron stays in Cleveland, maybe it's different. If LeBron stays in the Eastern Conference, maybe it's a little bit different. But from the youth that you have, the space that you have, the conversations that you will go down having during this postseason or during this offseason, you have the world at your fingertips. And you didn't have to do a hinky. And I don't understand what all the vitriol was, and except when I got a tweet from John, because people were going, ah, man, this Boston sucks. I can't believe it. Where John says, Ken, you're in Cleveland, a city with teams that have lost a whole bunch. When you're up 2-0, you close out. East Coast isn't as warm and fuzzy as the Midwest. Also, you have a hot wife. There, I said it. Well, thank you very much, John. Let me think of it this way, because maybe I didn't put it in the right context. Because where I come from, yeah, Cleveland hasn't won a championship since 1948. The Browns haven't won one since 1964. The Cavaliers just won one in 2016. And honestly, if LeBron leaves the way he's playing, how the hell could I blame him this time around? Or how could I hate him this time around? I can't do it. I saw something that I thought I'd never see. I remember every single moment of it as a fan. I cannot believe what I was there for. But I think about it in this context. The Browns have been awful for the last umpteen years. When I was a kid, the team that was the worst team in the NFL, year in and year out, some people could say the Saints, you could try to say the Falcons, even though they had the early 90s, the late 90s, they were pretty good, it was the Cincinnati Bengals. And when I'm watching football, I saw the Cincinnati Bengals go from 9-7 in 1990 to 3-13, 5-11, 3-13, 7-9, 8-8, hey, 7-9 again, 3-13, 4-12, 6-10, 2-14, and Marvin Lewis took over in 2003. Marvin Lewis has been that football coach for a long time with the Cincinnati Bengals, and in his tenure has been around 500 and hasn't had a playoff win. And I sit here and I look at 1-31 over the last couple of years, and I think, my God, 8-8 would be sensational. You know how bad I would have it and how angry I would be if the Browns were to go 8-8 as a fan? If my favorite football team were to go 8-8 and do that for two, three, four consecutive years around 500, no playoff wins, you think I'd get a little bit tired of 8-8? Because for Boston, they've put together this good run, and this is where they've been different from Philadelphia. Philadelphia's been so bad, they've just been developing, they've just been getting guys to play, and they've had those injuries with some of those developmental guys, and guys with sensational talent that they were bad up until this point, and then they're really, really good. For Boston, they've been to the postseason. They've played Cleveland in postseason series before and lost. With Brad Stevens, with some of these young players that I talk about and speak so highly about. And plus, when you have the Patriots, when you have the Red Sox, yes, the Bruins as well, when you have those teams that are winning, your expectations are going to rise. And so it's not just enough to go to the postseason. It's not just enough to play to a Game 7 and lose to LeBron James, a guy who Boston fans hate, a guy who Paul Pierce has a palpable hate for, and they still like Paul Pierce, at least they seem to in Boston. And then I'm on the air telling them things are going to be all right. So, you know what? Fine. If you want to say that things are going to be horrible or you want to take out your frustrations, you go right on ahead. But I just try to put something in a different perspective, saying, my God, you have a budding monster at the fingertips of what your fandom is that could compete with Golden State or Houston or whatever is out west for years to come. And could be the next great rivalry, the next great big thing in the NBA. If you want to be mad, I forgot the recent history. I forgot you've been to the postseason. These were with different players, fine. But my God, look at what you have ahead of you. How could I argue that? 855-212-4CBS. We'll try to get to some of the calls. Also, Farrah Fowle coming up next on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
I didn't realize it's been a year since we've lost Jim Nabors. And it didn't seem like the same. It just didn't seem like the same. I know we'll have to move on. I'm an auto racing enthusiast, as you might know if you listen to this show with any regularity. I'll have to move on, but it's just not the same without Jim singing Back Home Again in Indiana as we get set to start the Indianapolis 500. Watched all three races today. Watched that in the middle. Saw the Grand Prix of Monaco, which I'm still getting used to the halos and the F1 cars. And yes, I did see Kyle Busch dominate NASCAR. And if people are talking about Nissan and Dodge wanting to get in, add some bucks, add some intrigue. I'm down with that because NASCAR is on its last legs with some people, maybe even including me sometimes. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Now, we were going to do fair or foul. We got plenty of calls here. I want to get to them because we're going to get set for the Western Conference Finals Game 7 coming up. And I'm going to let Warriors fans know, because again, I'm not talking to Warriors fans, but they're still the ones who got to know it as well, that Andre Iguodala, you can't have it both ways on his argument. But what's the future with LeBron and the Cavs? What's the legacy? And obviously, what's going on with Boston in the future? Let me get to the phones. Let me go to Brian in North Carolina. Brian, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just calling about the game. The game was great, and it was amazing to listen to it on the radio. And LeBron had a good game. He was a phenomenal, and he is a great player. But with the other caller that said he was a Jordan fan or he grew up in Chicago, I'm from North Carolina, and also I'm a Michael Jordan fan. But I respect both, and I just, to the LeBron fans or the fanboys, whatever you want to call them, why is it so hard for us to expect LeBron win 5 or 6 if he really wanted to get to Jordan level? Because if Tom Brady had lost 2 of the last Super Bowls and he was 3-5 instead of 5-3, they'd still be saying Joe Montana. So if you want to be the greatest, you have to, you know, win championships. It's not just 6-0 and blah, blah. And Jordan fans just want to throw that in LeBron's fanboy's face. Then I just, it should be fair. And you can't have it both ways either. So he's putting up numbers, he's setting records and all this and that. But Bill Russell won 11. I watched a documentary on him last night on YouTube, and he was in 11 game sevens, and he won all of them. So even Jordan said he's not the greatest either, if you watch the documentary on YouTube as well.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, Brian. On that one, you really did, and I thank you very much for the call. You took the words right out of my mouth, because when we get into the generational LeBron versus Michael argument, I don't want to do it tonight. We will do it. I guarantee it at some point. And probably Brian just set off the waves, and we're probably going to end up waltzing into it. It is a generational argument. I brought this up last week at the end of the show. I think we do this because we do this, and I will do this with my sons, because there's other things in our generations we like to argue about. It's not just who's the best basketball player. My father and I can argue about politics. My father and I can argue about generations. Look at the contempt that people have who are not millennials. Look at the contempt they have for millennials. Outright contempt. And a person who's a millennial grew up, if we're looking at a millennial basketball fan, they think LeBron James is the cat's ass, and he's the best of all time. The generation previous, who we want to get into the whole Reaganomics issue and things of that nature, they grew up with Michael Jordan. They saw Michael Jordan play. They were in their formative years with Michael Jordan as a budding star in Chicago. When he started to knock it down, they started to knock it down. His parents started to knock it down in their own works and their own walks of life. And so Michael Jordan is the best of the best. And now the millennials whose grandparents were there, who they are dying off, they got to see maybe the best of all time in Bill Russell. It's a generational argument. And it's not just about basketball. Because if we're doing ring counting here, and if rings are the end-all be-all, which you look at some of the guys, it is fine. But if we're willing to start to look in the other direction, how can I take a lot from LeBron? Could Michael lead this Cavaliers team over Boston tonight? Could he? Because he's had teams like that. He had teams like that before when he was young in Chicago. Now, he wasn't where he was at 33 and 32. I get that. He was a better player at 32 and 33. More savvy. Knew the game better, knew the tendencies better, got calls better, did all those type of things better. I got it. Would Michael have been, in pure honesty, would a Michael have beaten Boston tonight with the Cleveland Cavaliers, with Jeff Green and with J.R. Smith? Maybe. Maybe not. 855-212-4CBS. Dave in Buffalo, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Dave. David. Oh, got to let Dave go. Let's get to Daniel in Texas. Daniel, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I was hearing you was talking about 8-8 teams and Cleveland maybe going 8-8 and all that. But I'll tell you one thing. If Dallas keeps going 8-8, they need to get rid of – they got rid of Des Bryant. Well, you know, what's going to happen if they go 8-8 again, are they going to get rid of Jason Garrett?
Well, see, that I'm just making a comparison. Daniel, first off, I don't know. I think he's the world's greatest patsy down there at Jerry World. But I make the argument because if Cleveland were to go 8-8, I'd hold a parade for the Browns. The comparison I make is that you're obviously a Cowboy fan, and you're saying what Jason Garrett should be fired if they go 8-8 again.
Well, I mean, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I mean, okay. I'm a Green Bay fan, but I live in Houston. Oh. But one thing is, you know, if he goes 8-8 again. Yeah, I think they ought to say, you know, hey, Jerry ought to say, no, that's him. But he don't want to do it.
I got what you're saying, Daniel. Thank you very much for the call. The comparison that I made before is I'm seeing a lot of good things with Boston. I'm going, man, you got so much great experience. You got these young players, and I think that you are in the driver's seat for the Eastern Conference in the future. I know that LeBron has, I would say, about 3 really good years left, and that might certainly taper off. God, he played in his 100th consecutive game tonight. He played 48 minutes. It's got to go away at some point. Physically, it has to diminish at some point. He does bleed blood. He's been cut open in the postseason. There was real blood that bled. And I see Boston, and I go, God, you drove them to a Game 7. You have these babies. You had every single real built-in excuse. Your franchise guy in Kyrie was hurt. Gordon Hayward broke his ankle in the opening night of the season. You have so many opportunities to say that, man, this is such a good season, and you won't take it. Why? Because of what the Celtics' history is as their franchise, because of who the Patriots are, because of who the Red Sox are, and because of who the Bruins are. Their standards are just higher. So when they hear me saying, hey, you guys got a great future, Ken, you can go pound sand. That one's not going to work out. And so if I were to watch 8-8 as a Browns fan, yes, now I'd be celebrating. If I were to see 4 straight years of 8-8, I could always say, well, you know, at least we aren't 1-31. But I think I would say that facetiously. You get coaches fired for going 500. You get coaches fired for not attaining what is supposed to be the goal. Mike Budenholzer had a great team in Atlanta, out on his ass eventually. Dwayne Casey, probably the coach of the year this year. Great team in Toronto, out on his ass because of LeBron and the Cavaliers. Expectations change. Standards change. You don't meet them, you're out on your ass. The standard for the Alabama Crimson Tide and Nick Saban is going to be a hell of a lot higher than Alabama Birmingham. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, you got to understand, there's a strong difference between freedom of speech and commerce. I'll explain it coming up next.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
1:20 a.m. Eastern, the great Peter Schwartz joins us. We have good, strong hockey talk with him. I got thoughts on the anthem coming up here in just a second. Let me get back to the phones. We got Dave from Buffalo back in. Dave, he wants to talk to us about where LeBron sits as the greatest of all time. Dave, go ahead.
What's up, Ken? How you doing tonight?
Dave, I'm doing wonderful, friend. Go right on ahead, buddy.
Oh, man, you got to put LeBron in that conversation, not only of greatest basketball player of all time, but greatest athlete of all time. I mean, what this guy's accomplishing, you know, year in and year out, it's remarkable. And I'm watching SportsCenter here, and Scott Van Pelt said it best. I mean, you know, we got to appreciate this guy while he's here. You know, that's like all these great players that, you know, turn into iconic players, the few that there are, you know, a Jordan, a Gretzky, a Tiger Woods, Nicholas back in the day, Muhammad Ali. These are guys that are, you know, some of the greatest athletes to ever live, and we got to appreciate them from where they're at. I mean, what he did this year with this team was unbelievable. You know, what he's done for a long, long time is, I don't know if we'll ever see it again. If we do, it's going to be a long time from now, but we got to remember how great he is, and we'll leave that Jordan versus LeBron debate for another day. It's kind of like debating Nicholas against Tiger. It's like you can't go wrong with either guy. I mean, it's awesome. I heard you mention hockey. I'm going with Vegas in 6 games. Marc-Andre Fleury is the MVP. And
he's hot,
I'll take
yeah.
your comments off the air.
Dave, thank you very much for the call, my friend. God, Marc-Andre Fleury is hot. We'll have what Peter has coming up at 1:20 a.m. Eastern because it's a great story. And I thought for a second it might hurt hockey a little bit. I don't think it hurts it whatsoever. I was an idiot for when I said that. But I see LeBron. See, this is the difficult thing. I wonder if LeBron needs himself a Scottie Pippen again. Like, he had that. And I know it's people who hate LeBron, and I get a lot of what you're saying. I really do. I know that a lot of this is his own doing. It's been his entire career, with the exception of Dwayne Wade. Nobody's played with LeBron other than Dwayne Wade. Everybody else has played for him. Kyrie, Kevin Love, Chris Bosh, name them. They've all played for him, especially as time has gone on, because now it's just apparent. You look at the Cavaliers, what is the Cavaliers' identity? It's LeBron. There's no other identity that they have. And if I look at this as a fan, just let me take my headphones off. As a fan, there's maybe a little bit with J.R. Smith, even though he's been very unreliable in 2017-18. Matt Dellavedova's been gone the last couple of years, so the guys in the suburbs can't even find a guy that they really like. Yeah, Jetty Osman's a nice player, and he plays really tough, but it's not what Matt Dellavedova had as far as fan favorites are concerned. The kids loved Kyrie. They still buy his shoes here. Who else? A bunch of guys you don't really know and a lot of guys you don't trust. It's LeBron. And part of that, a lot of that still is his fault. It's him. It's Dan Gilbert. Some of that is with David Griffin. I'm sorry. I love David Griffin, but that's the way it is. Some of that's Kobe Altman. Yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around, but this is what LeBron has created for himself. So he has to step up and rise and overcome that. And he has. It's been an unbelievable run. 33 years in. He's 15 years in the league, 100 straight games this year. He played 48 minutes tonight. He played from the beginning to the end. We give the stats because that's all we can say anymore. That's even somewhat more surprising. We've run out of words to describe how surprised we are because it's not surprising anymore. The Cavaliers wouldn't be here if it's not for LeBron. They wouldn't have beat Indiana. They probably wouldn't even have made the playoffs if it wasn't for LeBron. I know the East sucks to a lot of people. They probably wouldn't have made the playoffs if it wasn't for him. So that's what they have. And I think that when we put it into this context of the greatest ever, I don't care what people say. I have not seen, and I don't think I'm going to see, there's probably some kid in seventh grade right now who could be this type of player. And we just don't know him. He's maybe in Chicago, and maybe he's asleep right now in seventh grade. Maybe someday he'll be the next LeBron James. And we will see a guy dominate a game. But you look at the athleticism that we find. Remember, there were 7-foot lumbering centers. That's what endeared me to Shaq so much. That's what endeared me to some of the more athletic centers that could play the game in the 90s. But you had big lumbering centers. The old Seattle thing. You had 21 feet of center and all of it sucked. 21 feet of worthless center. And so now you play in a league where, yeah, there's more tweeners, but the athleticism is different and you have a guy who takes over games. And I don't think I've ever seen that. And the last time we could see that, to absolutely dominate a game and do whatever he really wants to, who Wilt? Physically, Wilt? Bill Russell has more rings, more hardware, had a little bit more help, but was very, very dominant inside. So maybe Bill, but that was a different era of basketball. Wilt played in a different era of basketball where he could have probably played now. I see these guys and I think, who's going to be the next one? I can't see there being a next one. Not in this generation. That's why we have to compare LeBron to the ghosts of past. 855-212-4CBS. All right, I had Jermon Bushrod on earlier today, I beg your pardon. We had Jermon Bushrod on earlier tonight, Saints offensive lineman, been in the league for a long time. He's got a great charity. He's got a great golf outing coming up on the 8th and 9th of June, Visualize and Rise Foundation. Find out more, visualizeandrise.org. He's a football player. He's been around for a long time. I had to ask him about the anthem. This is what he had to say.
The NFL and NFLPA, you know, we could have come together and really tried to make some kind of significant progress with some of the issues that we've talked to, or, you know, that guys are upset about, you know, and I just wish people would really just sit back and realize that, you know, nobody is the whole anthem protest thing. It wasn't against the military. It wasn't against the flag. It was about injustice. You know what I'm saying? So it's frustrating that people in power don't understand that. But at the end of the day, what Kaepernick did, he made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, he probably won't ever play in this league again because he was passionate about this cause.
That's Jermon Bushrod earlier tonight on our show. Find more, CBSSportsRadio.com. I've wrestled with this for a long time. One, because I can't sit here and applaud the NFL for doing the right thing. I don't think they did the right thing. If they would have done the right thing 2 years ago, maybe we could have done it. Because I've hated hearing this on both sides. It's become nauseous to me. And we're going to continue to hear it for a long time to come. Because if the NFL thinks that this solved anything, you are outside your mind if you believe that this is going to end things. And we're going to put this out there. And Artie Burns, I think, said it best from the Pittsburgh Steelers during OTAs this week. So you're going to have a guy sit in the locker room away from his teammates, not come out, and then come running out there and still make his teammates answer questions. The whole point of a protest was to have a protest. If it were just the way things were, then it wouldn't be a protest. However, I struggle with that, and I'll tell you why. Because the NFL, above all, is a business. I know we like to think about our patriotism. We like to think about our nationalism, especially at times like this. And at 1:40 a.m. Eastern, I will tell you exactly what Memorial Day means to me. And we will thank our veterans that we have lost. But from what I've seen over the NFL, where they have taken millions upon millions of dollars from the armed services and what they advertise, and to have these stances and to have these things that play out, and then you have players who come from adverse backgrounds, different backgrounds, diverse backgrounds, who have not always had the same experience I have. I'm supposed to start some sort of a rule 2.5 years after this first went down with Colin Kaepernick, and that's supposed to solve things? This kicking it around is supposed to solve things. Where you wait and let the lettuce rot at the end of the dock for 2.5 years, then you put in some rule. And at the beginning of the week, remember, and I hope that this was just put out there as some sort of a crazy idea that some one owner was thinking about, some rogue owner was thinking about, and it just got thrown out there. So, you know, maybe it would lighten the blow from what we were going to take from the regular idea that was given, where you were going to bring referees in there, which still I don't understand. Where a referee was going to penalize someone 15 yards for taking a knee during the national anthem. What if both teams did? Do the penalties offset? Do we replay the national anthem yet again? Do we continue to do it until everybody rises? What type of clustered mess is the NFL dealing with here? Yeah, I look at the NBA. The NBA has guys who have very strong social consciences. You have an NBA where guys who also do come from very adverse and diverse backgrounds. And they have a rule, and they stuck by that rule. Why can't the NFL get this straight? Over 2.5 years, your answer is to let, well, if they want to stay in the locker room, they can stay in the locker room. But what does this come down to? Comes down to money. And what did I just say about them being a major sponsor, the armed services being a major sponsor over the last few seasons, over the last more than few seasons? Because what this comes down to is making sure a sponsor is happy and making sure the customers are happy. We have raised a stink as an America on both sides about this. The NFL wants nothing to do with it, so they sat there for 2.5 years, just like they did concussions, and just like they did steroids, and just like they did drug use, and just like they've done every other thing in their entire history, going back to Pete Rozelle. Then they sat there and let this sit there and fester for 2.5 years while ratings dipped and people got more and more upset, to where we have gotten to a point where I ask you, other than your favorite team and other than a certain few players, what's good about the NFL? What has the NFL done well? Except for make money. And when the first thing that Roger Goodell says is, we make more money than everybody else, that's exactly what your fan wants to hear, huh? Well, we make so much more money than the NBA and the NFL, or than Major League Baseball. That's not what a fan wants to hear. But I'm also getting confused on the other side. Because we say this is a free speech thing. We say that this is a right to protest. And who is being taken away in handcuffs from a football field to a prison after they have protested during the national anthem? See, we get this mixed up on the right when commentators, when conservative commentators make certain comments about certain people, and people get upset about it and they demand that person's fired. And then we say it's a free speech and that person loses sponsors, or that person has to have an apology said because of what they did upset some sponsors of theirs, and they don't want to lose money. Because again, that's the end all be all. They are a sponsor to the NFL and they are trying not to upset the sponsor that they have. So if you really wanted to do it, you know what you could have done 2 years ago? Put in the rule that says you're either going to stand or you're going to be fined. And that, it wouldn't have solved everything. People would have still taken a knee, just like they're still going to take a knee. You're going to put that type of thing out there? You think guys won't be willing to pay that fine? You've already had guys who are team presidents, owners, say that they're willing to pay that fine. Owners abstaining from it. Owners saying that this is ridiculous. Players coming out and saying that that's ridiculous. And again, when we say it's freedom of speech, again, I want to know who has been hauled off to prison while they have protested the national anthem during the national anthem. Because there is a clear line here, friends, between freedom of speech and commerce. We had Jim Florentine on earlier this week. Jim Florentine had this to say about it. Go ahead.
First of all, the NFL, it loves drama. They're a drama queen. It's like dating a drama queen. they love it. They love being in the news, whether it's negative or positive, as long as it's not like domestic violence, which they always try to get that off the front page. That's why they kept the Deflategate going so long, because they were dealing with, you know, the Ray Rice stuff. So they love this. Just everybody's talking about them. You know, the View is spending 4 minutes on the NFL. When has that ever happened? So it's not to go away. Because all you know, the media is just going to show that there's the three or four guys on each team that don't come out of the locker room that run on the field afterwards. So it's always going to be there. You're just not going to see it. It helped it a little, and I think they made the right move because, look, they own that business. That's what it is. You know, a guy that works at Home Depot, if he's a KKK member, he can't come to work in his outfit. He can't. There's rules. There's rules on your station.
That's the answer
right
to
now.
It right there. Stop it right there. Stop it right there, Stu, because that's the answer. It's on both sides of the issue. If I cuss on air and I say a whole bunch of terrible things, I can be fired for that but not go to prison. If you wear a KKK suit to work, you could certainly be fired and should be fired. You ain't going to go to prison. If a guy protests, that doesn't mean that a protest doesn't come without consequences, whether it be in real life, whether it be in society, whether it be in the public eye. You look at an individual like Marcus Peters, you don't think for the second that they already knelt already, you don't think that they had that in their mind. They didn't think that they were going to take hate. They didn't think that they were going to take people who were going to come after them personally. But I see it on the other side as well, because you've had plenty of players who have taken knees who have not thought about the consequences, not just for themselves, but those people who work around them, those people who are continuously anonymous, who might believe in the same thing or might not believe in the same thing as them, and who have answered calls after Sundays on an angry Monday when they're just trying to eke out their 35 grand to put some food on the table for themselves and to pay off their student loans, and they're answering questions for the other folks. When we use the term the you know what rolls downhill, that's exactly what it means. So for the NFL to so haphazardly and so half-assed go through this for 2.5 years, how many reputations have you put on the line? How many livelihoods have you put at stake? Over what? You can't call this entertainment. Coming up at 1:20, Peter Schwartz, he joins us. We talk Stanley Cup with him. Coming up next, the future of LeBron, the legacy of LeBron, and Western Conference Finals Game 7, a major cop-out that I just cannot allow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.